Heavenly Father, it becomes very evident to us as we continue to look this morning that what makes us different than all the other religions in the world is that you came to do what we could not do for ourselves, that you came as God wrapped in human flesh, laid yourself openly on the cross of Calvary to die for our sins as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of sacrifice. And Father, we're forever thankful for that sacrifice. And Father, we cannot comprehend the depth of your love, the measure of your love that you have for each and every soul in this world. For you gave yourself that whoever believes in you would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we, Father, we ask you to help us to stay focused at the foot of the cross, that we would worship you and praise you, for you're so worthy. We ask this in the blessed name of the one that come from Nazareth who died on the cross. Amen and amen. What an appropriate song, a very touching song. And just always appreciate the thought of what Christ did for us. I'm going to ask you to open your scriptures this morning over into the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. That's Isaiah chapter number 55. And you'll find the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. It's a rather large book. And because of the large amount of space it takes up and what he had to say, the prophet Isaiah is known as one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah was the son of Amon. And he was a prophet during the reigns of many kings. During the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and some kings of Judah. He was a very, very well-known theological prophet of his day. In the book of Isaiah, you begin to understand it. Theology can be very complicated, especially the Old Testament. And I want to pick up Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 55. And before I read, I just want to share, you know, the book can be very complicated. And I don't know how many of you have ever read through it and studied it. It can be very complicated. And the reason is because God has a word for everybody that he's writing to. Not only the people of Israel are his chosen people, but also of the nations that surround them. Assyria, Babylon, Samaria. He has a message for them all. And it's a message that he's going to judge, but it's also a message of salvation, not only for Israel, but of all people of the earth. So it's kind of confusing as you read those messages. And we're going to take a look at it this morning. And as I read this, I just want you to, the title is, Who Can Understand God? Big question mark. Who can understand God? Well, from the New King James Translation, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 says this, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you're reading this out of a New Living Bible, it says this, The plan of mine is not what you would like to work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. So I really had to break it down very simple for me. So I actually went to the Thomas Nelson Children's Bible for another translation. And it says this, Your thoughts are not like my thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, the question, you know, that I have is, who can understand God? And the bottom line is that no one can truly understand God. But we have to trust in faith in what God does. I found that there were three things that just came to mind really quick, or three points that came to mind really quick as I went through this verse of Scripture. And it was this. Number one, God has a plan that is bigger than just me, but I just can't understand it. God has a bigger plan than me, but I just can't understand it. Now, I want to let you know, if that's you as well, that we stand in good company, because I don't understand it. And, you know, and we're in good company because the book of Job also shows us, or reveals to us, that Job, neither his three friends, understood God. From the very beginning, and by the way, the book of Job, if you replace it in chronological, it'd probably be some type in chronological order, be sometime in the book of Genesis before the flood. And the reason that is, you may ask, is because it talks about Leviathan and dinosaurs and all kinds of different things which would have happened before the flood. So it's an old book. So not understanding God is old. I mean, it's been around for a long time. I don't understand God's plan because it's bigger than me, and I just can't understand it. But Job was the same way. Do you remember in the book of Job, all of his friends came to him because Job had lost everything in his life, basically everything but his wife. And what a sad story. He lost his children, his servants, his camels, his sheep, his donkeys, his home. It collapsed in on top of his children. And his world was just falling apart. He had been blessed, so blessed. And it was just a horrible life that had been blessed and all of a sudden filled with chaos. So his three friends approach him and then they begin to tell Job, "It must have been something you did, boy. God is angry with you." And they come in, and instead of encouraging Job, they basically beat him up and tell him he's not, you know, the righteous man that he needs to be. But as we look, Job becomes very discouraged. And in Job chapter 38 and 42 through 42, chapters 38 through 42, you have Job going to God and saying, "God, where did I mess up?" And God basically tells him, "You didn't mess up, Job. Well, why had all these things," and I'm paraphrasing, "why have all these things happened to me?" Job couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand God. And God basically tells him, "Job, in those chapters 38 through 42, you need to take time to read it." He says, "Job," and I'm just giving you some of the highlights of it. "Job, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I placed the stars in the heavens? Can you comprehend that, Job? Job, where were you when I put life on the face of the earth?" And he goes over in chapter 39 and 40 of Job and he begins to name some animals. "Where were you when I created the ostrich?" And what a weird thing that is. "Where were you?" And he names off all these animals. "Where were you? Can you understand how I created even the food chain that these animals eat?" That's what he's talking about. "Can you understand how I feed the Leviathan," or back to the brontosaurus and the dinosaur? "Can you understand how this towering, huge monster eats grass? Can you understand how I take care of..." Go, and you get a chance, read it. "Do you understand how I provide food for the raven?" See, he's asking Job, you know, in the very beginning of creation, boom, I not only created the creature, but I created the things he eats. Amen? He provided an entire food chain. And I want to tell you something, really, Brother Linton, everything eats chickens. And I mean, they're at the bottom of the food chain for everything. And he asked Job, "Where were you when I did all these things? Can you comprehend them?" And Job says what? "No." Job says, and this is right out of the scriptures, then Job replied to God. Listen to what he said after he went through all of this about, "Can you comprehend?" Job says this, "I know that you can do anything and that no one can stop you. You ask who it is who has so foolishly denied your providence or your ability to do things. And Job said, it's I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about and I did not understand. And this is a Living Bible translation. And he says, these things are too wonderful for me to understand. See, the truth of the matter is, who can understand God? And that's what Isaiah is saying. And God has got a bigger plan that's much bigger than I can understand. I fall in the same way with Job. I don't understand how these things have taken place. I don't know how God can talk about in the book of Isaiah 3,000 years ago through this prophet how he's going to bless and judge, and then at the end of it all he's going to take care of us all. I can't comprehend it. I don't understand it. So I stand in good company, and you stand in good company with me this morning. I don't understand his plans. Have you ever seen these artists who have these big pieces of, what do they paint on? Canvases behind them. And all of a sudden the artist goes up, have you ever seen this on YouTube or anywhere else? And he takes a bucket of paint and he just throws it on there. And then all of a sudden he sticks his hands in some paint and he does that. Has anybody else seen that? Or he takes it and puts it on his feet and slashes it up on there and he puts some on his face and rubs it on there. And you're going, what in the heck is he painting? What is he doing? I don't understand it. I don't see any form. I don't see any reality to this work. And you sit there and watch for about 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden you begin to see, from the mess of chaos and paint, a beautiful picture. Do you know why you didn't know what he was doing? Because you're not the artist. You can't figure it out. Job's the same way. I don't know why all these things happen to me, and they happen. Your mind is bigger than my ability to comprehend. So God's plans are bigger than me, bigger than what I can understand. The second thing I realized as I would read through the book of Isaiah, and that is, God has a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it. Do you understand that? Have you ever been in the midst of chaos and trouble in your life or problems, and all of a sudden you go, God, I'm not feeling it? You know what the Bible says. Many of you already know what the scriptures say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things, right? You know that verse, right? For we know all things work together for the good of those who love God. Do you know that to be true? Well, it says it is. And so God, number two, must have a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it. But the Bible says we all know things work together for the good of those who love God. Those who are called according to his purpose. We also know in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, and we hear it all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. It's almost as though, first of all, that God has a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it. You know, when you're told you have cancer, when you're told that your loved one's dying, when you're told you have to foreclose on a house, or that you've lost your job, or that when your children are rebellious, or when you don't get along with your parents, or politics, when you watch it on TV, you're just going, what is going on? This is not, how is this going to work out? I don't understand it. I'm just not feeling it. I put politics out there because, you know, there's a lot of people today going, what the heck is going on in the United States of America? I'm not feeling it. Something's out of joint. Something is amiss. Something's just not working the way it's supposed to. How are these folks that are running for elected office, how is this going to be for the good of us? How is it going to work out? Because, see, God has a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it. I know what the Bible says. How many of you have had children come back to the house? Okay, amen. You've all been there. Most of you have been there. Wayne's shaking his head because he moved out when they moved back in. So I mean, you know, it is, you know, you just can't comprehend it. You don't understand it. How's this working out? But let me just say this. God has a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it. But it doesn't matter what you feel. I'm telling you, God's truth is God's truth. All things work out to the good who love the Lord. Now, in a call to his purpose. You know, things just didn't work out for Peter like he thought either, did they? He just wasn't feeling it. Do you remember the story in Matthew chapter number 8? Jesus said he was going to have to go to the cross. He was going to have to die. Do you know what Peter told him? He said, no way. This can't be so. You know, Peter's basically saying, I'm not feeling it. That may be your plan, but I'm just not feeling it. And, you know, this is not what I predicted. This is not what I want to happen. See, what I want, Jesus, is for you to be the king, get rid of the Roman soldiers and get rid of Herod, and that you rule like King David, and we're all going to live happy, and I'm a part of your kingdom. That's my plan. I'm not feeling your plan. Do you remember how Jesus responded? Matthew 8:33 says this, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Listen to what he says. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Who can understand God? We think like men. So when things happen that I'm just not feeling, believe me, I'm telling you, God has a plan that is above and beyond your understanding. Even bad things, even horrible things, things that we just can't comprehend. And, you know, as an illustration of that, you just take the Jewish nation that had been without a place to live for centuries after they were cast out of Israel, after they were dispersed through the dispersion, after countries, the Palestinians came and took over their homeland. It took a Holocaust. I don't understand it. It's horrible. But it took a Holocaust for the people of Israel to again have a homeland. I don't comprehend it. I'm not feeling it. But it's not for me to understand. I just can't. How do I understand? I don't understand it. But God's got a plan. And it seems as though when I understand God has a plan and believe that this is all leading to something, when I believe that God has a plan that is beyond me and it's a plan and not even in my stupidity, God still has a plan for me to learn something from it. Amen. But when he has a plan, listen, dear folks, it is as hard as it is for us to be able to tell God, I'm not feeling it, but I'm trusting in your plan. To embrace his plan. Does that make sense? To say, I don't understand why these things are taking place, but God, I need to embrace your plan. I'm upset, I'm in turmoil, I'm in chaos, everything seems to be falling apart, but God help me. That I, even though I understand I'm not like Job, but I am like Job, that I cannot comprehend what you're saying. My thoughts, your thoughts are not the same. So God, help me in my faith to embrace this plan that you are working out that I cannot comprehend. Imagine how that would change your walk on the face of the earth. That doesn't mean you're not going to be emotional. That doesn't mean you're not going to be upset. But it means that when we come to the place like Peter did, when he finally understood, he came back from fishing. Remember after Christ was crucified and resurrected, where did Christ find him again? Back doing the things of men. Christ called him back to the seashore and asked him the question, do you love me? Do you remember that question? Yes. It is that moment that Peter finally understands. God has a bigger plan. Even though I'm just not feeling it, God has a better plan, a bigger plan. and he bought it and he lived it. So, and the third point is this. And this all ties back to the book of Isaiah. You just got to be patient, okay? The third thing is this. God has a plan, but I've got to give it time. I mean, think about it just for a moment. There were things in the book of Isaiah that were spoken by Isaiah that he never saw come to pass. These were God's plans. God had a plan. But he never saw them come to pass. Because many of the things that were written in the book of Isaiah were prophetic or futuristic as he wrote them out. One of those, which we use a lot at Christmas, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name what? Emmanuel. God is with us. Isaiah never saw that come to pass. God had a plan, and Isaiah needed to give it time. Some of the things, God's got a plan, we need to give it time. But the other one, which I find over in Isaiah chapter 53, is one that he never saw come to pass either. Isaiah 53:5 says this, speaking of Jesus. And Jesus didn't come around for about 750 years at the time of this writing. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. See, as Isaiah was writing, his writing was not only to the nation of Israel, but it was into the entire world. And the Israelis must have been scratching their head, as the Hebrew children scratching their head, as God wrote this. And if you get to read the other 54 chapters before chapter 55, you begin to understand God says, I'm going to chastise you, Israel, because you're a rebellious people. You're not listening to the prophets. You're not obeying the law. And I'm going to bring judgment on you, and I'm going to bring judgment to also the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and Samaria. I'm going to bring judgment on them all. But out of that judgment is going to come redemption to the entire world. I'm going to bring salvation to everyone through this one who was wounded for our transgressions, who we know this morning to be the Lamb of God. See, God brings together the entire world. We sit there and scratch our heads, and sometimes we think Baptists are the only ones in his plan. We think maybe we're the only ones in his plan. We just can't figure it out. But this morning, you know, go back to it just for a moment. God has a plan that is bigger than just me, but I don't understand it. Do you all agree with that this morning? And the second one is, God has a plan that will work out for me, but I'm just not feeling it right now. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? And the third one, God has a plan, but I must give it time. Do you know what we're seeing in the world today? We're seeing the book of Isaiah play out. Jesus Christ came by that virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Jesus was taken to the cross of Calvary as the Son of God, Isaiah 53. Read that entire chapter. For the iniquities of us all were laid upon him. For the Assyrians, for the Sumerians, for the Babylonians, for the Israelites, meaning for the Gentile and for the Jew. See, God has a plan. He's laid it out. And we're seeing those things in the book of Isaiah coming to pass. And that's why in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, he said that. He says, now that you know the rest of the story, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When we live in a chaotic world, my friend, listen, God has a plan. He's still working out the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So all the things that you're seeing in upheaval around this world, even in the current political spectrum, in the economic spectrum, and all over the world, it's global. It's just not little bitty places. It's happening worldwide. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, you've heard of that over in Genesis. Sodom and Gomorrah with homosexuality and everything else was taking place in that one little city. What did God do? Destroyed that one little city. But it wasn't global. People disliked God and they had false gods. And where was that taking place? It was taking place with the Babylonians. It was taking place with the Assyrians and Sumerians. Now it's global. The economic chaos that we find our nations in around the world, the collapse not only of the dollar, but of the yen and all the other money markets in the world. You cannot be $20 trillion in debt and bail yourself out when the rest of the world. It all leads to collapse. And you go, oh no, I can't believe it. What am I going to retire on? That's when you got to say, God's got a better plan than mine. I don't know what it is, but God's got it all under control. See, from the very beginning of time, when he created Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, when you see it in the Garden of Eden, God made a plan. I will put enmity between her seed and your seed. You shall crush his heel, but he will crush your head. And throughout Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, we have to believe God's got a greater plan that we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. And in every individual's life, God is completely control. That puzzles me. How he knows J.D. Moore, he knows my middle name. He knows my social security number. He knows where I live. He listens to every phone call is made and every text message I send out. He knows what my ears hear and what I see and what I do. He is aware of all those things. I can't understand his ways. I cannot comprehend his thoughts. But my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, God is in control. 100%. 100%. No matter what you're going through in your life today, God is in control. 100%. He's got a better plan than yours. You may not be able to comprehend it, but he's working it all out, individually and globally. God's in control. Do you know him today? Do you know that he died for your sins? Do you know that he's in control of your life? Have you been fighting his will for your life, whatever it may be? Cursing under your breath every time something happens that God's out to get you when really he's just working out this perfect plan that you have no idea what it is? Wherever we stand before him today, today is the day as we approach each Easter to be able to say, Lord, you came with a perfect plan. You died for me on the cross of Calvary. You were the Lamb of God who took away my sins. And Lord, I come to you today and I trust totally in you. Can you do that this morning? Can you embrace the things that are happening and say, I know you're in control. Just give me the mind to know that you're in charge. Give me the faith I need to walk the course. Let's pray. Fathers, we approach you this morning. All of us here should be able to acknowledge that we're not able to comprehend. I know, Lord, in my own personal life, just the little bitty things that you worked out that were so intricate, just so small, the minutiae. How that I left from going on leave one day from my brother's phone call to go to Salem, Virginia to meet my wife, it just wasn't a fluke. Lord, you put my wife and I together to have the children that we have and have the grandchildren we have. And you've put her in my path and other people in my path to be able to have a plan that I could not comprehend. Good times are bad. Father, I see as I look behind me how you planned. I would have really made a mess of it, Lord. I see the world today as it falls and stumbles and things collide with one another, and it seems to be so chaotic. And Lord, it burdens my heart. Father, help me, help us to understand you've got it all under control. For your perfect plan and your perfect will, which is good for us. Father, we ask you to help us by our faith to make it stronger and deeper, no matter what the day may bring, the year, the month, or years of our lives. Give us the faith to embrace the things that you bring to us, that we know it's a part of your great plan. In these things we pray in the blessed name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.